Somebody's phone is vibrating. Hey, man, turn that thing off, man.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. This is your home for healthy
masculinity
on interwebs.
Sure.
And KLDC, 1220 AM in the Mile High City.
And we're just real men having real conversations.
See, I knew that was going to mess you up.
You just messed that up.
I knew I was going to mess you up.
How are you going to mess up the intro, man?
I didn't mess it up.
See, this is why we can't do nothing night. This is why we can't do stuff up, man.
I'm doing new things, man.
We got guests in the house. See, this is why we can't have people over.
I'm doing new things, man.
We got people over and you messing up, man.
I ain't messing up. I did it on purpose.
Yeah, sure we did.
You just can't. You can't handle it. You can't handle the newness.
No, man. I audible, though. I went on that thing, man.
You did. See how you did?
Hey, there's a lot of things you've been through, JBK.
Yeah, but not
that
like
I've
you.
Never been through. And there's a lot of things I've been through that you never been through.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Some of the things,
at least
that I've
two
been,
I can think of.
Yeah, some of the things that I've been through, I hope you never go through.
Yeah, it's probably,
there's probably some things you've done that I don't ever want to do either.
No, that's very
especially
true.
That back in college, you know, back in the day when you was in the military and you was hanging out with college people and all that.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Yeah, I don't ever want to do that kind of. But there's some things
about.
That I
why you gotta be putting my business out the street, man?
There was a you did live in Germany, didn't you?
I did several See? Times.
Yeah, we know how they roll over there. Anyhow, man, there's some things that's happened to me, and one of the things that's happened in my life multiple times that I hope you never ever go through,
me too,
is a dissolution of marriage.
Yes. Well, at this point in my life, I think I may have missed that boat.
Yeah. You never know, man.
Either for the better or for the
you
worse.
You never
I don't know,
man.
Yet.
You yeah. never know. You never know.
You know strange
a dissolution of marriage is also known as a divorce.
Device.
People divorce every year over 900,000 divorces occur in the United States.
It's almost a million people.
There's two per
so
divorce.
Almost two million people.
That's like the population of San Jose, California. Mm. I mean, man, I'm telling you, it happens a lot. That doesn't mean it's good, but it happens a lot.
It does happen a lot.
And out of that, you know, 900,000 divorces, about 80% to 90% of them. Where am I going with this?
Oh, I know.
Where am I going with this?
You bet you're about to go. It goes both ways.
Where am I? No, I'm not going both ways. 80% or 90% of them are filed by the wife.
Yes, I know. 80%, and for some reason, if she has a college degree, it jumps up to 90%.
Yeah. Which means that a lot of men find themselves, well, somewhat involuntarily.
Yes, they're bushwhacked.
In as the respondent of a divorce. You don't even know what petitioner respondent means.
Man.
But and that's good. That's good. That's good perspective. But so a lot of men find ourselves in divorce.
Yes.
And a lot of us have this common thread. I would highly recommend you not go there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to have relationships,
yeah.
And that's why we spend so much time talking about it, because we want to make sure we educate everybody out there listening to the struggles and the strife and the pitfalls and things. But you know what? We only know so much.
That's right.
And so sometimes we have to bring in the experts.
That's right. Sometimes you gotta go out to the pitcher's mound. You got to tap that left arm. You got to bring in the lefty. Sometimes you got to bring in somebody from the bullpen. You know, we know a lot, but we don't know everything. And so we got a guy here that I've known for a couple few years, probably maybe three or four years by now. He's from California, man.
We won't hold it against you at all.
But this guy originally, career-wise, man, is a family law attorney. Mr. David Pizarro, how you doing, sir?
I'm great, Kirk. Good to see you.
This
Jason's
guy,
awesome to meet you.
Yeah, thank this you. Is good stuff, much. Man. You've been around the proverbial block, as you would say.
Yeah.
You've been to the puppet show. You've seen the strings.
I don't know if it's a puppet show, more like a horror show.
Yeah, something like yes, that, man.
We're close.
First of all, thanks for coming in, man. All the way from California, love. All the way from California, man.
My pleasure.
You know, thanks for flying in for this thing. I wish you were just here for this, but we can't afford to fly. we low budget
yet,
like
yet.
That. You happen to be here for a business boot camp that you and I are going to be a part of, and I get the luxury of emceeing. And so thanks for stopping by on your way, fresh from the air. You smelling like jet fuel, straight from the airport. Somebody probably saw you walking through the airport today. Probably running through the airport looking like OJ, or maybe not. Court case that we don't want to talk about in California.
Yeah.
So give a little bit of background in terms of your profession, like your professional background and how you got a little bit to where you are here today.
Sure. 25 years ago, I opened up my law practice and I wanted to do business, unsurprisingly. And my law partner said, I want to do family law because I think family law is a great business. You learn it once, and people are always going to be fighting over kids and property. And I thought, ugh, family law, gross. But the problem was I was the marketing arm. I'm the guy that had to go out and go to the Rotary Clubs and the Chamber of Commerce and kiss babies and shake hands and like meet people. And I'd do my little spiel on like, I want to do divorce for my partner. And everybody would come running to me. And nobody wanted to talk to me about business. They'd all be like, can he lower my child support? Can he get me out of this marriage? I got to like get this alimony lowered. And I'm like, great. So I'm getting him busy. And all of a sudden, his calendar is so busy, it spills into my calendar. And 25 years later, I'm a divorce lawyer. I'm like, how in the world did that happen?
Wow.
Yeah. See a need, fill a need, man. That's a big need.
And, you know, over the course of that 25 years, we've had times where in the very beginning, we took all kinds of cases. We took men, we took women. And about 4 years in, I just was like, I'm not enjoying this at all. And I made a list of the clients I liked and the clients that were just driving me crazy. And it was like literally boys on the right and girls on the left. And I had to look at that because as a single gay man, I got to look at that and be like, okay, what is this? Is this my own bias? Is this like some weird psychological thing? Like what's going on here? And I looked at it and it was a woman comes into my office. I want the house. I want the kids. I want to destroy him. He's cheated on me. I want everything. I want to destroy him. He's got to go to jail for the taxes, but he has to keep supporting me. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I don't have any money. Got to get it from him. Wow. After you've destroyed him.
Wow.
I'm not sure how that's supposed to work. He walks into my office and says, hey, I'm kind of lonely. We haven't had relations in about 5 years. The marriage is over. I want out. What's it going to cost me? How long is it going to take? Here's your retainer. Call me when you need me. Very different experiences. Very different clientele. Mm. And then I started seeing what was actually going on in family court with the way men are treated.
Yeah.
And the way that they are viewed by the judges and by the way the system sort of sets things up and properly done, it's divorced by ambush. And I'm like, these guys are getting destroyed and somebody's got to start defending them.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to start doing some work for them. So we started men's family law. And for the last 20 years, it's been men's family law. And about 2 years ago, I came up with, we're kind of moving a little bit away from the divorce stuff, focusing more on child custody. And as more and more dads are fighting themselves in family court, fighting over custody, but not getting married because, you know, people aren't getting married that much these days.
I wonder why.
I got all, we can talk about that for hours. What I found is that the dads don't know what they're doing going into family court. Mm-hmm. They really need help. Somebody has to explain to them what's happening and they can't really afford it. I mean, who can afford a lawyer at $300-$500 an hour? And that's a reasonable rate in many parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And so they're going into court, not having a lawyer, not knowing what they're doing and walking in going, hey, I'm a great dad. Give me my 50% custody. Mm-hmm. Well, mom's walking into court going, he's negligent. He doesn't know the kids' allergies. He doesn't know their schools. He doesn't. And dad's walking in going, I'm a great dad. That's not going to cut it. So we started Union of Dads. And in Union of Dads, we've got four courses that teach dads what they need to know when they're going into court. And that's Dad's Law School. So that's kind of where I'm at these days is trying to help dads get more time and more custody with their kids.
Yeah, that's something that we promote so much because, like, to your point, we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And so many times, because ladies kind of have their own way of doing things, a lot of times the guys kind of feel like they're blindsided. You know, granted, if they were paying closer attention and knew what to look for, they would probably see the signs. Mm. But a lot of times they don't. And so all of a sudden, they're getting divorced. They had no idea it was going down. She knew it was going to go down for a year or two. And then, like, to your point, they don't know what they don't know. So they go in there saying, hey, I'm a great dad. I want to have 50% custody of my kids. And she's already set up tiers of defense and why he shouldn't be there and why she deserves everything.
Right.
And then, of course, just the way the court system is skewed towards the mothers. I mean, you have to come in like super dad to even get your right as, you know, a dad, much less get in there and get something more than that.
Absolutely. And to your point, we have found that generally women plan their divorces about 2 to 3 years. They're coming in, they're plotting. What's my exit strategy going to be? How do I set myself up financially? How do I squirrel away money to make sure that like I'm not going to go and not have money for food or rent? And so when we think that a guy's getting blindsided, it's because honestly, he's being blindsided.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
It's so funny. I saw a post today while I was working, and it was one of those just it's the usual post, like, how come a man who's educated and good looking and has money is still single?
And your response was?
My response was, he's got eyes and critical thinking skills, and he knows that marriage is not a good deal right now. But it wasn't. But that was not what they wanted to hear. This was another one of those, you know, it's all men's fault. Go, ladies. Men are all dogs. Kind of posts, and you know, or there's something wrong with him. And I'm like, is there? Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that guys don't understand and don't know. And I think, you know, maybe historically the court system has been kind of slanted away from men. But then I think right now, maybe the slant away from men is probably ignorance in terms of what we don't know. And yeah, we don't know what we don't know. And so knowing a lot of things can change a lot of things. When we come back from this break in a minute, I'll tell you a little bit of the differences between my first divorce and my second divorce, just based on what I knew the second time around. But, you know, shoot, when you get kind of blindsided with the fact that, you know, that the other side has been planning this for some period of time, or at least had this on their mind and started making steps, you know, years ago, man, you already behind the eight ball. And, and man, you better, you know, I mean, you better be educated, because education is probably your biggest weapon at that point. Your biggest, I'm going to say weapon, but your biggest tool, I'll put it that way.
It's a shield.
Yeah.
It's a shield.
Well, I mean, when everything is slanted against you, and nowadays it's one of those things, if you follow the kind of star-crossed lover syndrome and, you know, the puppy love kind of thing, and you don't have a more realistic mindset, especially as a man, you get screwed about 99.9% of the time. And even if you have your ducks in a row, it's still an uphill battle, and that's all we hear. And then people wonder why guys like myself are still single at our age. They're like, well, what's wrong with him? Well, I look at the system, I look at everything, and yeah, I'm a hopeless romantic. I want to get married, I want to have a family, but it just doesn't look rosy and fun and like something I want to even get into, because of you can, you know, people change. Like one of the sayings is, I think even Jude said this when we had him on, our divorced advocate guest, the person you marry is not the person you divorce.
That's 100% true.
And so
that is 100%
true. It's all rainbows and butterflies. But then when whatever changes the mind, whatever happens to the heart, whatever happens to the feelings, they change. And maybe you change, or both of you change, but that person is not the same one you married. And, you know, and there's no way to know. I mean, I don't care how long you stay together, or how long, you know, how much background you do, or how much you think this is a perfect person. They could change on you.
You know what I think could change right now?
Break.
Let's change to a break.
Let's do that.
Hey, Mad Men and Masculinity, we'll be right back. KLDC 1220 AM. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And yeah, we do like a few seconds of whatever before and after or the breaks, just so he sees the flat line for the editing.
And for you guys still watching us behind the scenes right now, this is the behind the scenes moment that you only get
behind
on YouTube,
the scenes.
And Facebook.
This you is see where us pick our nose. Yeah. And
sometimes this is where the best conversation is, because we don't have FCC all over us for this one. But
yeah. We can't like cuss and do all the crazy stuff we do during the breaks, you know, on the ECC.
So make sure you like and subscribe. Tell your friends. We're trying to do some good out here, people.
No doubt. We're bringing in the experts. We're bringing in the, you know, the
we drug him in here off the plane. He didn't want to come in here. He's kicking and screaming.
No doubt, man.
But we appreciate you, you know, settling down. And
oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Right. You ready?
Yeah. We're back.
We are back.
Mad Men and Masculinity.
Here on KLDC.
That's right, 1220 AM.
In the Mile High City.
And on the interwebs everywhere. Buzzsprout, man, Facebook, YouTube, all that kind of good stuff, man. I would highly recommend spending all of your money trying to save your marriage.
More than all.
Because if you go through divorce, all your money is going to be gone anyway. No. Spend all your resources. I would recommend, this ain't professional advice. This is anecdotal advice. Go into debt, spend all your money trying to save your marriage, because I'm telling you, if it goes bad, it's going to go real bad. You're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. I mean, you're going to be in a place where you don't like to be. You don't want to be. And you can be writing a check every month that's going to make you mad and bitter and all that kind of stuff. And you're going to have to holler at somebody like David Pizarro, who we have here in the studio here. Been in family law and specifically focusing on men's men's the men's side of things, the men's equations, if you will, and all those kinds of things. And so, you know, we talked about guys being blindsided kind of going into it, and the things that they need to know kind of going into it. Now, obviously, so you practice in California, right? I mean, right. None of this is you giving anybody any legal advice. So don't be an idiot out there, folks, and say David said to do this, so I'm going to go do it. And if it don't work, then you want to fight him. But I mean, this is stuff that you know, this is conversations that we don't normally have. Now, we are definitely not haters of women around here. We're not haters of wives. We're not haters of ex-wives and all that kind of stuff and whatever. This is about helping men be better men. And there's a lot of men who have and are and will be going through divorce. And so that's where the heart of all this is. We're not anti anything. We're pro healthy masculinity. And I'm telling you, when you're in that situation, it can be so crazy that you think you're going crazy, man. It can be so crazy that you just think the whole world's against you, and you just, you know, I don't want to say, man, but I mean, it just gets crazy, man, when it starts flying and checks start having to be written and all that kind of stuff, man. And
no doubt.
Yeah. I know it sounds a lot of times when we talk about this, and it sounds maybe you could be anti-woman or it could be anti-female or it could be, but it's not. The only problem is the statistics that we bring up are the statistics. So the numbers don't lie. So ladies, if you don't like the numbers, sorry.
Yeah.
It's just, this is the way it is. And so we're trying to educate men and a lot of the women out there to know what's going on, because it seems like a good deal. And this is one of the things, we had this conversation several times with some of our single mothers out there, that this seems like a good deal. And we spend most of our time trying to educate men on the pitfalls of marriage and divorce. But a lot of times ladies get caught up in the, oh, well, I can just take his stuff and go live my hot girl summer and stuff like that. But once you get past a certain age, it's not all, you know, hot girl summer out here in these streets. It's cold and rough.
Hey, David, do guys normally, you know, from your experience, do guys normally have the mentality of, look, I just want to go off and have my kids and kind of move on? I mean, is that generally the common theme, or do guys really get into the I'm a getter mode?
It's rare that a man wants to get into the fight. Usually they're like, I just want to cut a fair deal. Let me see my kids. Let me have them 50% of the time or whatever it's going to be, and let's move on. And that's frequently not the case on the other side. The other side is definitely in for, I want every penny, I want all the kids, I want to make him pay. And often I'm looking at this and going, you're just destroying your children.
Yep.
I frequently use the example of the two mothers in King Solomon. And I've updated a little bit, because frequently these days we see one party is willing to just go to the mats and like, I need everything and I want to destroy the other parent. And what they're really doing is they're destroying the kid. And so when I say, look at the two parents as if they were the two mothers in King Solomon, how did he make that decision? He said, cut the baby in half. And the real mother said, no, give the baby up. And that's how he decided that that was the better parent. And I see that today. Like, frequently men are willing to give up because they know how dangerous and damaging the fight is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that, like, as men, we tend to grow up. Like, I know if I'm going to pick a fight with a guy, I know I either have to, like, out of the gate, be ready to, like, overpower and win from the get-go, or I'm just walking myself into being pummeled. Mm-hmm. And I think frequently women underestimate that not from a physical perspective, but from the emotional perspective of what's the actual damage.
Yeah,
that comes back to, I think a lot of times nowadays we're not holding the ladies accountable in any way. Everything's set up to their advantage. And so the guys, growing up the way we do, we know there's a line. As men, we know there's a line. You know, you can say what you want to say, but at a certain point you're going to get blasted in the face.
Yeah.
So we know there's a line, but there's not that same sort of like education on the ladies side for the most part. Right. I mean, there are some. I know I've seen some. They're like, yeah, my brother's in this and that. We used to fight. But for the most part, it's not there. So they don't have that, like, well, let's not fight. And I think sometimes, you know, to the, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned thing, when they get to that point of divorce, I mean, they're just out for blood. Like, they want as much drama as they can get.
And interestingly, you just made a really interesting point. I think I don't want to skim over that. It's when women grow up with brothers, they learn what that's like. They learn that dynamic. And similarly, if girls grow up with fathers, they learn similar dynamics. But when the dad is not in the household, there's no limits placed on them as in the same way. So they don't learn those. And I think that we're seeing the effects of 25 years ago, single motherhood is rearing its ugly head in today's relationships where men are like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the 20 and 25 and 30 year olds, they're all like, what is this? This MGTOW, like men going their own way thing. And they're like, forget it. I'm just going to make my money and I'm going to go play games and I'm going to lead a great life and have fun.
We did a show just recently about single motherhood. And one of the things I really harped on based on my experience from being from going through a divorce, being in a household that fell apart, is that the father has to be in the kids' lives. I mean, I'm talking outside of the what is statistically a rare extreme where the father is, you know, literally legally abusive and, you know, a threat to the kids and that kind of thing. I mean, there are cases. We can't discuss the whole narrative based on the exceptions, right. What I would consider to be exceptions. But for the most part, most men want to be in their kids' lives, and kids are better when their fathers are in their lives. And so parental alienation is a form of abuse.
Oh, 100%. And the sad part is that the domestic violence lobby has glommed on to the parental alienation argument, and they're pushing that's actually the abuser's argument, and they're pushing parental alienation, the acknowledgement of it, out of the court system. Oh, we've got a bill in California right now where we're actually going to take away from judges the power to order a family into reunification camp when they recognize that it's necessary. And that's coming directly from the domestic violence lobby that's lobbed on to the parental alienation argument. It's unbelievable. And the other thing about this is that, and you said something really interesting there, and that's the definition of domestic abuse has changed so dramatically. You know, mm-hmm. You made a joke earlier about O.J. Simpson, and that was a seminal moment in our society when O.J. allegedly murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. That changed domestic violence in our society. And we are still feeling the effects of that today, where 20 years ago, it was actual physical abuse was the definition of abuse. Today, we're at coercive control. Now, coercive control, I don't really know what that means. Mm-hmm. I know that it's the far extreme and the opposite of physical abuse. Right. And you know, oftentimes the domestic violence lobby wants to say, well, that's where they're controlling the money and they're giving budgets. And I'm saying, well, that also sounds to me like a well-organized family. Right. Like somebody's got to be in charge. Like,
and it sounds like structure.
Right, exactly. Boundaries. Oh, yeah, boundaries. Those important things.
Yeah, this is one of the things that we see, and it's kind of sad because not all divorce attorneys have the best, you know, their minds in the right places. A lot of them are there just greedy, trying to get money, and you see them. I've had several single mothers now who have, when they went through their divorces, tell me that their attorneys were like, well, how can we charge him with, or how can we say that he scared you or that he did something that was quote-unquote domestic violence or something mm-hmm. controlling so that we can get more money, because they want more money for themselves. The more they get for her, the more they get for themselves.
Absolutely. If I was running women's family law, not men's family law, I would have probably 4 homes, a boat, probably a jet. You know, I'd have brand new jet skis every year on the Colorado River, because it's so easy to gin up the anger and the frustration and to cause that kind of chaos that drives the litigation. And being a voice that's against that, it definitely comes at a cost, no question.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where, you know, you get emotions and feelings tied up into it, and logic kind of goes out of the window. Oh. Which, again, I think that's why you also see a little bit of the difference, or maybe even a lot of bit of the difference between the male and the female side of things in terms of which one is feeling based and which one is logic based. You know, the logic based is like, look, I just want to get out of this, you know, with the least amount of, you know, skin, you know, right. As possible. I remember at one point at the end of my first divorce telling just like, I just want to get out of this with as much of my butt still attached to my body as possible. I mean, it was freaking ridiculous. I mean, but what I had no clue in my first divorce about the fact that I could advocate for myself in some things and I can stand up for myself mm-hmm. in some things. And I ended up taking it into shorts, man. I mean,
right.
I mean, I was, you'd have thought, you know, I went to work with a name on the back of my jersey and I was working at the phone company with the amount I was paying, you know, but I didn't know that I could say, hey, I want more parenting time or push for more parenting mm-hmm. time. And, you know, and I ended up with, you know, that the whole once a week, every other weekend kind of thing and blah, blah, blah. And man, I was paying out of the yin yang and I just said, okay, you know, I just basically said yes to everything. And that divorce like drew out over a year and a half, 2 years. And I mean, it was crazy. My second time around, I was like, no, here's, you know, 50-50. There's no reason why I can't. You know, we both are going to live in the same city, right. same town, blah, blah, blah. I knew all that kind of stuff. And I went in saying, no, here's what I want. You know, we're going to split this, split that. And to be honest, my second divorce, we didn't even use attorneys. We did it ourselves. I mean, she had been there as well. But either way, I knew enough the second time around to know what kind of things that I could stand up for, what kind of things that I could put my foot down for and to say, no, here's what I want. And to if you will, to fight for those rights. But the education being the huge part of that. And obviously here, but before we get done, we're going to get into some of these things that men need to know. But I think just having that knowledge the second time around really helped me out in terms of
it was
a lot cleaner. It was a lot more straightforward.
Yeah, that's another thing we keep talking about. It's like, F your feelings, get out of your feels, and realize that this is a possibility. It's just like life insurance and car insurance and everything else. Educate yourself, men, about divorce and what could happen because the numbers are not good. I mean, what is it, 50% of first-time marriages get a divorce?
70.
70, I'm sorry. Wow, it's gone up.
Yeah.
And was it second time marriage is 80 and then third is even higher?
No, it actually goes the other way.
Oh, really?
It's like 70 for your first marriage, you're probably going to get a divorce.
Okay.
About 55, 60 on your second. And by you hit your third marriage, you got a fighting chance. It's like right under 50%.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Kirk. Yay. Yes. Yes.
You got a chance, baby.
Yes. And again, you know, that a lot of that is stuff that I learned in the past. I implemented even into this engagement and going into this marriage. And we're going to get into a little bit of that right after this break here. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back. Mad Men and Masculinity, KLDC 1220 AM. Boom. I'm telling you, man. I mean, just
that's crazy.
There's so much that I learned the first time. It was bad. It's not even just the fact that I got screwed in the court system, but I mean, man, I just rolled over in every kind of way, and man, for years she steamrolled me, and now even my relationship with my oldest two kids is not healthy because of how toxic that divorce was.
Well, that's another thing why we, you know, promote so much about guys learning about nice guy syndrome, because we get raised that way. Yeah. And then you get into a marriage and you're the nice guy and she's wearing the pants or whatever. And then you get the divorce and you just roll over and she takes you for everything.
Dude, and she just decided she wanted to kick me in the nuts and she did it over and over and over. But it got to the point where I had to get a restraining order against her from coming to my home during parenting time.
Really?
I mean, at one point she called the cops on me for going to pick them up during one of my weekends. I mean, it was toxic for years and years and years. And then there was a long break in there where I didn't have any relationship with them at all, and we suffered. And so kids suffer, man, and you know, kids are the ones that pay.
We definitely got to talk about that, because I mean, that's if we don't focus it back on the kids, and they get all in the fields and it turns into this battle that's bad for everybody.
Boom, let's go there.
All right.
Yeah.
We are back.
Yep.
This is the Mad Men of Masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
We are on KLDC and on the interwebs. Everywhere.
That's right. Bus proud, man. Everywhere you listen to a podcast, you can holler at your boys. You can throw in a comment around here, man. If you throw in a comment, you know,
let us know how you think we're doing.
Do you agree? Do you disagree? I mean, are we crazy? Are we mad? Are we on to something?
We're missing those smoke calls and those cancel calls.
Somebody cancel us, please. Somebody please try to cancel us. We love that.
Especially today, because we're talking about divorce.
I love somebody to get into it.
They need to be canceled.
Yeah, let me have it.
They were offending me. I don't like that.
That's good.
So I think the only ones to suffer during a toxic divorce are the kids.
I mean,
I think the only ones to win, if there is a such thing as win, are the ones getting paid.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I know several divorce attorneys, family law attorneys, not bad people. I mean, I don't know. I know of probably one that is pretty much, somebody that is
Ambulance chaser?
Yeah.
I could help you with that. I got a list.
I'm sure.
he's got a list.
But I'm talking about like the people I know personally. Maybe this is because of the people I know personally right. in my circle, yeah. like that kind of stuff. But generally not bad people, right? And but I think the only ones to quote unquote win in a divorce, especially when it gets toxic and when it gets bad, are the people getting paid and the people getting paid a lot of money. But the main ones to lose are the kids. The kids are the ones to suffer, especially when one parent is pushed out of the picture.
Yeah.
When they lose a relationship with one parent, when they have to, you know, to go through that, when they hear bad stuff about the other parent from the one parent, that kind of stuff to me is abuse. And, you know, I've had in the past, you know, we were talking about during the break, man, I had to get a restraining order at one point against, you know, an ex. I got the cops called to me for going to pick them up. I got all these different stories, and a lot of that came down to just me being a nice guy. I didn't want to fight. I just wanted to have a relationship with my kids and et cetera, et cetera. And not having the gumption, not having the information, or just not having the guts to kind of fight for my rights as a parent. I think kids suffer.
Absolutely. But part of that is you've got that desire. Like, if I'm peaceful, then peace will prevail. And that's not actually true. Because if you think about it, like, when do men get peace the most? When we know the danger of war.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know how expensive it really is. That's when we're going to find another way.
Yeah. That's one of the things we advocate for, is like, be a dangerous man. Like, no, be as educated as you can be. Be as strong as you can be. And then hold that danger, you know, as like 100%. A tool. Like, you need to have that in your tool belt. You need to know that you can protect yourself. You need to have all the information so that you can protect yourself, and then you can be peaceful. But
and oddly, what I've noticed, and this is coming from a gay man, so it's like different perspective here. I've noticed that frequently that actually makes the man more attracted to the woman.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It actually saves the relationship because one of the big problems in relationships, one of the root causes of the failure is a lack of respect.
Yes.
And when the respect goes away, the relationship is over. Forget it. No matter what you do, you're not going to fix it.
Yeah.
But when that element of being that Jordan Peterson monster, that's the one that, like, actually people are like, oh, we're going to step two a little bit. Like, I'm being told no, and he actually means no.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to get a job because I'm not allowed to just be a stay-at-home parent. Right. Yeah. You have to carry your weight. You want to be an equal partner? Be an equal partner.
No. Yeah, and unfortunately, that is a symptom or an effect of single mother, you know, single parents, single mothers raising boys, not being men and doing the best job they can, but they're not men. So they're feminizing the men, and then as they grow up, they're going, well, where are all the good men? Where are all the masculine men? It's like, well, they've been feminized because you didn't want them to be boys.
And right. You know, as you speak of equality, you know, when a lot of the money back and forward in terms of who's going to write the check and how much is essentially formulas, right? I mean, it's essentially you plug in this number and that number, this number and that number, and it spits out a number,
correct.
Right? And the main driver, the two main drivers of that is income and parenting time, right? And so personally, I think, and if I were to sit back and rewrite some family law, you know, I think the default should be 50-50 parenting time, minus, you know, the exceptions of, I think that should be the default, and then there are mitigating circumstances that would allow us to veer away from that. And I think with that 50-50 parenting time, yeah, if dad travels all the time and blah, 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 dad's going to have to make some exceptions to be able to raise his kids. But at the same time, he's not writing that big check. And I think if mom's only or primary source of income is child support, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, to me, that says that she's basically a glorified babysitter. And she's not a productive member of whatever, and especially in a case where 80-90% of these divorces are initiated by her. And so, I mean, I think, you know, in my world, you know, the default should be 50-50, and then we can veer away from that based on, you know, some kind of circumstances that the judge says. But either way, you know, there should be some equity in that and not be just a general understanding that mom gets more of the say-so or mom gets more of the opinion or more of the influence or input in that whole thing.
And we're going that way. Florida just last month started a 50-50 presumption.
Love it.
And Kansas has had it.
I'm on my way.
You know, Florida.
Kansas? Are they close?
Florida. What are you gonna do with Florida? I don't know, it's like it's such a like
it's gonna be underwater soon anyway, so everybody get a boat.
Truly.
Get a boat and start learn how to swim. Truly. But no, I mean that's kinda it goes back to in a lot of ways we and there's just this way that we do things in this country, just maybe it's even global, but I know really here in the West, but you know, women and children and dogs are loved unconditionally.
Yeah.
Men are only loved for what they can provide, but then men are taught repercussions and responsibility. But we as men, I think a lot of this sometimes falls on our shoulders as well. We were raising our daughters as you're the princess. You don't have to do anything. You got to find a man to do everything for you. And then we, you know, do everything for our daughters and we don't train them with a, you know, structure and you know, responsibility in there. And then they go out into the world without that. And then they look at this court system, which is in their favor. You know, big daddy government comes in, stepdaddy government comes in and goes, oh, well, you don't need him. I'll pay you and take his money for you to raise the kids. But they don't realize like what all that entails and how damaging it is to the kids.
And I blame Disney for a lot of that, to be honest.
Give me a start on Disney.
You want to get canceled? Here we go. Let's take on Disney.
Yeah.
Particularly in Florida.
Florida and California. Right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree with you, man.
But I think that's one of the biggest problems we have is like what you just identified. It's that false image of I want to be a princess. Well, wait, I thought you said you wanted equality. Well, I do want equality. I just want to be treated a little bit better. Well, that's not equality then.
Yeah, right. The one that gets me the most, and I mean, Kirk has his, it goes both ways, things that, you know, gets his hackles up. But for me, it's the equality of outcome. There's no such thing as equality outcome. You can have equality of opportunity, which is paramount in this country. Everybody has the same opportunities. You can do whatever you want, but the outcome comes from your labor and your responsibility and what effort you put into it. But when I hear a lot of these talking heads on the news stations talking about equality of outcome, there's no such thing. But that's right. The mindset that is out there, and we wonder why the court system and the divorce, you know, courts are so skewed and backwards.
Yeah. And at this point, especially based on just experience that I've had and experience that I'm implementing, I would say that, you know, somebody should not be afraid of divorce, but more focused on how you go into the marriage.
Ding, 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 ding.
How you go into the marriage from the perspective of premarital agreements, from the perspective of just the relationship that you have and who you pick. You know, a lot of us are, you know, our pickers are broken.
Yes.
A lot of us go into it with nice guy, you know, syndrome. A lot of us go into it, you know, whatever, not being realistic about it, not recognizing. I don't think marriage is hard work. I think it's consistent effort.
Yeah. Well, you said it too, like being realistic.
Right. Because
the puppy love thing and the star-crossed lover syndrome, and you get all in your feels and you don't stop to go, who is this person? And then to even have that, you know, talk with yourself and go, guess what? If this ends, that's not going to be the same person that, you know, they are now. So being aware of that, and like you said, not being afraid of it ending.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens so much is we go in with this nice guy ideal and we don't put in structure and boundaries. And then we just get run over and are blindsided because we didn't educate ourselves enough to go, hey, this is just how it is. I mean, it may not be pretty, but, you know, results often harsh, always fair. This is what it is. We need to educate ourselves as men and be realistic. Take your time up front. Take your time. Because, I mean, so many times we see people rushing into things. And I'm like, why? If this is supposed to be your person, like your person forever, why so fast? Why not take the time to really get to know them? And that takes, I mean, you're in the, the dopamine and the oxytocin and all those things, those levels are raised for like 18 months.
All the love drugs.
All the love drugs are, you know, it takes like 18 months where you get past. That's what we're saying, like a year to 2 years before you even think about it, because it takes that long to get to the real person. And people are really good at acting. They're really good at hiding who they are because they want something. So you really have to take the time to educate yourself on who is this person I'm trying to build a life with, and then make sure you jive and harmonize and are co-parents and cooperative and, you know, can build something together.
Absolutely. And one of the big things there, what I always say is, like, you know, you wanted to build the world. I think that we do it exactly backwards. We make it super easy for people to get married. You want to get married? Fine. Go to Vegas. Marriage license, here you go. It's $5, whatever they charge. And divorce is an anxiety-producing, agonizing experience for everybody. And it should be the other way around.
Yeah.
We should make it really hard for people to get married and really easy to get divorced, because divorce should just be like a formula.
Because ultimately, when you get married, you are essentially, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, David, but you're essentially asking the government to sanction your relationship. You're essentially incorporating your relationship and making it into an entity. Hence, you know, the dissolution of that being the divorce and why you go through all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, isn't that what it is when you formally getting married?
It is. And it's just like we were talking about, you know, maybe we need to have prenuptials. Well, the reality is you have a prenuptial. It's called the family code of whatever state you're in.
Mm.
It's already been written for you. The issue is that most men have no idea what it actually says.
Yeah, we got to read, gentlemen.
Haven't actually read it. Yeah. So they're like, listen, I know my job. I show up semi-sober. I say I do. I'm done.
And I wish it worked that way.
Yeah. But I'm surprised at how many times people are like, that's their image of going into marriage.
Yeah.
They don't have those discussions about how are we going to handle money? How do you deal with credit card debt? How do you feel about this? Like emotionally, what are the triggers that brings up for you? Because that's a huge issue in marriage is money.
Yeah. I blame Disney and romantic comedies all over again.
People should read Seven Secrets of Modern Dating,
yes.
The He Said, She Said Guide to Getting from Single to Spouse. I think that's a great book.
Yeah, because that came from
recommend that.
Blood, sweat, and tears of our own experiences. Recommend that
whole thing. Another prime example. Okay, how you get down is how you get down, right? Some reality-based going into the marriage, going into the relationship. Statistics say that 6 out of 10 divorces involve somebody with a porn problem. If you are a consumer of such things before you get married, is that other person cool with that? Maybe that's a conversation that you should have. And if the answer is no, then maybe you should consider whether or not this is the person you should be getting into a legal entity relationship with. I mean, because that something that is small in the beginning is only going to get bigger over time. So is the person cool with that? Is the person cool with your money habits? Is the person cool with you know, your whatever other lifestyle habits you have, eating, your sports, your work, all that? These are conversations that need to be had before you say I do, not things you just plan on. We'll just figure it out if it goes down like that. And speaking of going down like that,
let's get out of here.
Let's go down with one more break, man. Yeah. What do you think?
Let's do it. Mad Men of Masculinity, we're going to take a quick break. Nobody excuse you. They say you can't get out of here. Come on.
Get you a diaper.
Wash your hands.
Our producer, Tanner, just said he's got to go to the bathroom, everybody. So if you're watching this, we're just going to see you for a few minutes. But either way, man, I'm telling you, these are conversations that people need to have like ahead of time, man.
Yes. Dude, there's a big one that needs to happen that people never want to talk about.
What's that?
Body changes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because that's
a big issue.
If we're going to be married for a while, we're going to get older. And if we get older, stuff ain't going to be...
It's not going to be where it was before.
Where it was the day we got married 10, 15, 20 years from now, right?
That's the thing. I almost kind of disagree with the making divorce easier thing, because, I mean, back in the day, you had to burn the ships. Like, you were going to be together forever. Like, this was like, you were making that family, and that was it. And nowadays, it's just like, meh, just get a divorce.
But, yeah.
I mean, you're right, though.
If we could prevent a lot of marriages on the front end,
Oh yeah.
We would prevent the divorces on the back end.
Well, that's why we talk so much about, like, you have to look at it as a business. This is a business arrangement. You are making a partnership.
It's a business arrangement, all right, for the woman.
Yeah.
No doubt, honey.
The guy's coming in as, like, the capital investor here.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, he's taking all the risk, but maybe the reward is if he depends on... And that's why we say take your time.
And here's what the modern women don't realize. The modern women out there who are getting theirs, you go, girl, boss, babe. Yeah, ooh, you go get yours, girl. Ooh, I'm going to go get my education. I'm going to go get my nice career and all that. Guess what? A lot more women are starting to pay.
Yes, they are.
Write these checks at the end of the divorce. A lot more women are having to start to kick out child support checks.
Halle Berry is bad as hell right now.
Oh, boy. Ooh.
Britney Spears has a few comments, I'm sure.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson, all of them, man. I mean, hey, you go out and you can go get yours, girl. Go get yours, boo-boo. You know,
talk about equality. Guess what? You get to write the check, too.
Yeah, you know, because it is a formula, right? And so, you know, there's a lot more women now that are starting.
But there's not a lot of men that are willing to argue for
right,
it.
Right, that's the thing.
That's the thing that always gets me. I'm always pushing them. I'm like, get that. And they're like, well,
no, I don't need all that.
They get so run over the coals and demonized when they're like, oh, you're not a real man. You're taking her money.
Because there's a stigma.
Yeah.
It's a huge stigma. It can be seen as a stigma
anyway.
But
what's interesting is look at who's doing that, actually. Is it men doing it to other men?
It's the women doing it to
the women doing it to the men.
Yeah.
Why? Because they want to emasculate them.
Exactly.
So that they don't do
it. It's the same manipulation, so they get their way. It's that same sort of like, we want equality, but if we're honest, we only want the things we want and nothing that actually takes responsibility.
Yeah.
And we see that all the time. Like, no, we want a we want to have equality, but you're still paying for dinner. You're still paying for drinks. You're still on the hook for child support.
But she's got hair and nails and makeup yeah, and perfume.
You got a job. Dude, man. Get a job. I'm telling you, man, but dude, I followed all of them steps in that book, man. And we had a whole lot of conversation. We had the sit down bank accounts. We had to sit down pay stubs. We had to sit down credit reports. We had to sit down all those conversations.
Oh, that
man.
Sounds horrible.
We talked. Is that,
it sounds important. I mean, it but sounds it doesn't sound like it's
fantastic
fun.
Because well, I'd rather do it on the couch when we love each other than, you know, in the courtroom when we're on opposite sides of the table.
Absolutely.
I've been in that.
Let's bring that up after this because, yeah, that's when you want to do it.
No
up
doubt.
Front.
And then I want to spend most of the, at least a lot of this last section on what you're doing now with the Union of Dads thing. We can get into that stuff. That's important, man, because guys need to know that kind of thing. They need to tap into that. All right, boom. You ready, Tanner? He's like, I don't care, man. I've been ready. It's been rolling the whole
it's
time.
It's been recording the whole time. Right, he didn't care.
We're back.
We are back.
Mad Men of Masculinity.
Right here on the radio.
That's right. Oh, we getting real up in this joint. Ooh. I was trying to, during this last break here, for everybody that's, by the way, you know, when we do these things, man, if you catch us on live, if you catch us on YouTube, you get all the behind the scenes, all that kind of stuff. You get all the conversations that we have.
A whole lot more conversation.
Yeah, a whole lot more conversation. And I was talking about one of the things that I've learned that I incorporated is to have all these hard conversations before we get married. We sat down on a couch and we pulled out bank statements. We pulled out pay stubs. We pulled out credit reports. We pulled everything out. I mean, we got at this point, you know, we got all of the marriage license, divorce decrees. We got all that kind of stuff, man. I mean, I was like, wow, okay. We pulled out all that kind of stuff so that everything is out there on the table. She knows all of my hitches and in stitches, and I know all of her hitches. We know, you know, where each other jive on all this other kind of stuff. I mean, our ups and downs, and it's that kind of stuff is not it's not comfortable conversation to have. But guess what? I've had that same conversation in the back room of a courtroom when they tell you to go back there and work this out. When the judge is like, I don't want to sit here and argue with all this. Y'all go in the back. Y'all figure this out and come on back out. I've had these conversations in courtrooms. I'd rather have them on the couch when we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because ain't no love when there's a petitioner and a respondent.
And you're not both paying $900 an hour for lawyers.
You know, I mean,
well, don't you feel more kind of like stable and connected now that you've had those conversations?
There's a different level of intimacy because all of that's out there. I know what I'm getting and she knows what she's getting. And it's not all good. You know, and it's not all good, meaning it ain't Disney.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. I mean, you know, we both around 50 years old. We got baggage. Like, we got stuff. We got kids. We got exes. We got, you know, all this other kind of stuff, man. And so, you know, it's better to get all that out there up front. It's better to handle all those kinds of things because what you know is important. And speaking of what you know is important, talk to us about the Union of Dads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my pleasure. The Union of Dads is designed to help dads become educated, empowered, and entertained.
And so, monsters. Oh, wait, no. That's
well, in a way, yes, that's certainly true, because I want dads, when they're empowered, to know what their rights are.
Right.
Because if they don't know what their rights are, they're going to just roll over.
Yeah.
And that's setting a wrong message and a wrong image for the children, and that's what the kids need to see. And what I'm trying to do is have dads... So often they are so isolated. There's this epidemic of loneliness among men and particularly among fathers, because so often, who's your social crowd? Well,
work.
Mom's running it. No, not even. Mom's running it. And so when there's a breakup that happens, you don't even have a friendship anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have a friend's network.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling you, man, that's probably one of the loneliest places I've ever been, except for when I was in the pit of my addiction. Yeah. Those two places were lonely places to be in, man. I'm telling you, because you're right. You lose your friend circle. If you go to a church, guess what? You're going to kind of get those looks from people.
Yep.
You know, I've had people, you know, look at me. I mean, I'm like, all of a sudden, they're bringing their kids away. Like, what did you hear?
Sure, because they've been hearing all kinds of things about you.
So, man, I'm telling you, that whole thing, man, everything you just said is spot on in terms of what I experienced.
And that's why I created the Union of Dads, and we've got a monthly subscription model that allows dads to have twice a month meetups where we're going to get honest and share, create friendships. We've got an online forum that allows them to ask questions, get advice from other men who are in the similar situation. You have an opportunity to, like, you got a question about what's going on, some strategy, shoot me an email. We'll talk about that. You know, the goal here is to bring men together and bring us back to the support that we used to have. Because when you're going through this, you don't have that anymore. And you can't be going to your family all the time because you're just going to poison that well. Yeah. They're going to get to the point where they're like, I'm done. Dude, I got my own family to worry about. You got to go on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk so much about guys, find your crowd, find your group, find your men's group. And especially if you're going through something like this, find a group like, you know, the Union of Dads, because they're all going through the same thing. They get it.
Right.
They get it.
And then once you're actually past it, once you're through that crisis point of the divorce or the breakup, or you get your parenting plan in place, you still need to have friends. Mm-hmm. And so the other side of the Union of Dads is to build the community online, but also we're planning on having live events because I want to bring dads together. So there'll be one in Denver. There'll be one in Los Angeles. And it may be like 2 to 5, 10 guys. I don't know. My goal is 2 years from now, have, you know, 300 guys together in Dallas. Like, let's go have some fun.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the things that men really lack in today's society. And I'm kind of like the Julia the Cruise director of all this. Like, it's a good thing for me because I've got the time. I've got the flexibility. I love doing it. And I know how to have fun.
Yeah. Nice. And again, man, I just can't tell you how much I wish I would have had that when I was going through all that kind of stuff, man. Because, I mean, it's such a dark place, man. And it is... I mean, you just feel like you're just being cut and just bleeding all over the place, man, and you can't stop it, and it's relentless, right. And every time somebody writes a letter on your behalf, and every time your attorney responds to a letter, and all this other kind of stuff, and we need this, and we need that, and, oh, by the way, I need another check, and, I mean, man, it is just, and then on top of that, and at the same time, one of the things that I realized was having other men in my life and in my circle. I mean, I wish I would have had that going through that whole experience, man, because that would have made all the difference in the world, because you think you're the only one, even though there's, you know, a million other people at the same time, you think you're the only one going through the exact same thing.
100%. And the other thing is that I'm fighting against this image that we've been told that men are so naturally aggressive. We're so naturally unsupportive of each other. We're always checking each other. And I got to say, like, I'm in a men's group and there's, you know, 200-300 guys there. And it is unbelievable to me how often there's all kinds of the usual jokes, like, you know, we're picking on Bobby's big nose and Mark's big ears or whatever. And then somebody gets up and shares about what's really going on in their life and they get really vulnerable. And it's one of those opportunities that you would think if it was true that we're so mean and horrible to each other, that they would just attack. Yeah. But what ends up happening is there's this quiet that comes over the room and there's this coming together of emotional support of, oh my God, I've been there. I feel that. I want to support that guy. And that's what I want to bring to the Union of Dads, because I know that men need that more than anything these days, because we're being attacked across the board. Mm-hmm. Like, where are we not being attacked? Mm-hmm. Professionally, we're under attack for everything because everything we do is now toxic and vile and abusive. In families, we're being abused. We're being torn down because you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. What do we got?
And then you find yourself in divorce where the person that used to sleep on the other side of the bed has now deemed you as the worst person on earth and is literally trying to take everything you have into trying to convince the world, including your kids, how bad of a person you are. Again, I'm not telling the narrative based on the exception. Absolutely, I've experienced not that in a divorce. But I'm telling you, the one time I did experience it in a divorce, man, it impacted my life. And so
it's global thermonuclear war when you're in it, and it's brutal. And the problem is that many men don't do their homework. No. And that's why I created Dad's Law School. Is we've got 4 courses, got the first one, the Child Custody Action Plan. You've got a hearing in the next 3 weeks. Judge has to get something from you. What are you going to put in front of him? Here's what you put together. Mm-hmm. There's the course on evidence. Here's what it actually means. There's a course on discovery. You know the proof exists to disprove the lies that she's telling about you. How do you get that? So that's the discovery course. Mm-hmm. Is we're going to teach you, like, this is how you get the stuff you need to use as evidence to put in front of the judge so you get what you want. And then finally, we've got a course on contempt, because the other side, even with court orders, they don't always follow them exactly the way they're supposed to. And so it's like, how do you get in front of the judge and say they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing? You need to be paying attention to this, Your Honor.
You're saving guys money.
Because
this is stuff that they don't have to learn the hard way. Because it does suck that the courts enforce child support, but they don't enforce parenting time.
Absolutely.
You better pay that check or they will put you in jail. They'll take your driver's license. They'll take it, whatever. But if she doesn't send the kids over or let you have the kids for parenting time, you can take her back to court.
And usually the judge is like, what can I do?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, most judges just shrug. So, however, starting in September in Texas, God bless Texas. I may actually have to move there just because of this, which is really scary.
Everybody else in California is moving to Texas.
I don't want to move to Texas. It's scary down there for me. I'm a short, fat gay dude. I don't want to be there.
You'll be all right. Just
what are they doing in Texas?
Here Austin's where I need to be. Texas has a new law that's coming through that says if you're withholding parenting time from the other parent, if you're directly interfering with that parenting time and you're brought to court, you get that time back.
Mm. I like that.
And it's Texas! All based on the parental alienation. And I'm like, wow, there's a state I wasn't expecting to have that. But we're going to see how it plays out. But I think that it's going to, like, all of this stuff, we're going in the right direction with Florida and Kansas and this new law in Texas. And then we got California, which is doing stuff that's just insane.
It's always been insane. It's California. But, gentlemen, we have David here. He is a just fount of information. He's got the tools right there to teach you what
and
you
need
to
cool
know.
And he's a cool dude. I've known him for years.
But
cool dude.
If you guys are still kind of dealing with your nice guy syndrome and you're not sure why to do these things, do it for the kids.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know what you don't know and you go into these courtrooms without the information, without educating yourself, the kids are going to suffer.
Right.
And you're not going to have the time with them that you need.
Yeah.
So, and that they need. Yeah, that's the big thing, is that they need that time with you.
They right now, guys listening, especially guys that are going through this, what they need right now is they need to know how to connect with Union of Dads.
It's real easy. It's unionofdads.com.
What?
Nice.
I know.
You even made that for dudes.
I even came up with it pretty straightforward.
Like, I did. Boom. And then you got a social media presence and all that stuff?
I do. If you go on TikTok, you've got a whole bunch of Union of Dads TikToks. And then there's another channel called Dad's Law School, which is just the education stuff. And it's Dad's Law School. And again, you can go to dadslawschool.com to get directly to the program. There's the YouTube channel we're working on. I've got a Facebook thing. And there's an Instagram thing. It's Union of Dads and all that stuff. So I'm trying to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this good work. Because, I mean, it's funny. Somebody might go, why is a short gay man advocating for dads?
Right.
But you know what? I think you're actually the perfect person.
Yeah.
Because you got no dog in the fight, really.
Right.
But just the fact that you're doing this work. And I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this man saw a need that needed to be filled and filled it. And is doing this amazing work, and we thank you so much because it's so needed right now. You're totally right. There is such a war on men and masculinity right now that if we don't come together, we're going to get torn apart.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. I appreciate you saying that. It's an interesting experience going through this and finding, like, there's every time I open up my mouth, people are like, "You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. Dads need this." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to keep going."
And again, keeps coming back to it, but ultimately dads need it because kids need it too.
Yeah.
If it's really about the kids, then we need to really think about the kids and not, who's hurt and, guess what? A dad that cheated on his wife can still be a good dad.
Yep.
I mean, that sounds bad to say, but it's the reality.
And there's usually reasons for that.
Everything, it goes both ways until we start to, it goes both ways when we start to think of the whole big picture. Right. So fantastic stuff, man. Dave, we appreciate you, man. And I'm looking forward to chilling out with you this weekend.
Thank you.
Shout out Gary Barnes Bootcamp, too. What's up? We're going to rock that thing.
Can't wait.
But man, I appreciate it, man. And everybody, go out there and hit up Unions of Dads, Union of Dads, and
dadlawschool.com. Make sure you get educated, know what you're getting into. Do this before, do this while you're married. Like we used to say, and we say constantly, even in the book, the best time to get marriage counseling is before you get married. The best time to learn about what you need to do about divorce is before you get married, before you have a divorce. So
absolutely.
Educate yourself, men, for the kids. These kids need you.
And with that, Mad Men out.